Hi, I'm Bede Hill, and this is The D Word, the show where we talk dementia. Good to be back with another hour of Dementia Chat and Music. My guest this week is Debbie Compton, who, like many people, had never envisaged being a caregiver until she was thrown into the role. Since then, she's become an author and founded her own non-profit to help fellow carers avoid burnout. Debbie will be joining me right after Hank Wangford.
Perfect day, sky is blue, all set up for an I love you. Something's missing, that something is you. You decided the other day to break it up, throw it all away. Now something's missing, that something is you. You made something out of nothing on the day that we met. You filled my heart with fire, something I will never forget. The way you put that fire out only shows that nothing is forever and anything goes. Day's still perfect, sky's still blue, I'm still perfectly lonesome too. Something's missing, that something is you. Something I will never forget. The way you put that fire out only shows that nothing is forever and anything goes. Day's still perfect, sky's still blue, I'm still perfectly lonesome too. Something's missing, that something is you. Something is you. That something is you. That something is you.
Great times at gigs in the 80s with Dr. Sam Hutt, better known as Hank Wangford and his band, and that's from an album called Holy Holy, which came out a couple of years ago, and Perfect Day. My guest this week is Debbie Compton, who found herself in the position of dementia carer with very little prior knowledge. Since then, she's become an author and founded Purple Vine, a non-profit organisation that aims to help caregivers avoid burnout. Living in Oklahoma, it's been quite some journey.
Well, thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here. Caregiving was not on my radar. It was not in my plan. I was in business, traveling nationwide, leading teams of managers. And then I was on the East Coast when my dad, who has low blood pressure, accidentally took my mother's pills, who has high blood pressure. He was nearly comatose and had to be rushed to the hospital. Then the second time I was on the other coast and my mom passed out at the Daily Living Center and had to be rushed to the hospital. Super stressful. I couldn't get there right away. I'm in Oklahoma, by the way. So I'm right in the center of the U.S. and these things happened while I was on the coast. And then I wound up being in Colorado when my mother-in-law locked herself out of her house in the middle of a snowstorm. And she did not have the mental cognition to go to the neighbor's house that she'd known for 40 years. Instead, she sat in her car for about 7 hours until her daughter got home from work. So we realized there were big issues going on. All three of them were needing more care, and I obviously could not provide it traveling as much. And I have siblings. I have two brothers and a sister. My husband has four siblings, but apparently everyone else had a life. And so, and that's just a joke. But so that's how I wound up being a caregiver, because someone had to take care of them. And it was my honor to take care of them. So I cared for my dad, who had Parkinson's, until he passed in his home. And then I cared for my mother-in-law, who had Alzheimer's, until she passed in our home. And I still caregive for my mother, who has vascular dementia, 21 years now. So, long time.
Yeah, this is very long time, isn't it? And yes. Yeah, I guess a familiar tale, isn't it? You know, you laughed and said everybody's got a life, but you have... You're busy with your own life, and then suddenly you must feel like you've sort of cast into a parallel universe. All this stuff kicks off.
Yes, exactly. That I was completely unprepared for. I had never even been around anyone who had Parkinson's. I didn't know anything in the world about it. And then when my dad started having hallucinations, I was just freaked out. It's like, what am I going to do? How do I handle this? And fortunately, my background is training and development. And so my brain works that way. You have a problem, you research it, you look to find the solution, you implement the solution, and then hopefully you find a way to prevent it from occurring again. And so those steps that are ingrained in me, that's what I used to survive caregiving. And I say survive because at some points it was just so very difficult. And now at this point, two of them have passed away. My dad and my mother-in-law both passed away. And so I just have my mom left. And so after the two of them passed, that's when I got my certifications. I started studying and got my certified caregiver consultant and certified caregiver advocate. And then I've been a community educator for the Alzheimer's Association since 2017. So I learned a lot after two of them had passed away, which is not the way you would like to do it. But when you're cast in the middle of three with different forms of dementia, there is no time to do all the studying that you need to do, because the little bit of free time that you have, you got to sleep.
Yeah, you know, absolutely. I mean, you know, you obviously researched a lot. You learned a lot about the subjects. I mean, looking back, you know, were there signs that, you know, maybe understandably, because you hadn't done all that research, you missed?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And I think that I went through the classic things that a lot of caregivers do, is that denial is there, because you think, oh, that's okay. You know, he forgot this, and that's okay. And he's not using this tool correctly, but you know, it's just a little, it's a one-time thing. You think it is a one-off when it's not, it's actually occurring much more. And the people with dementia can basically fake it for a certain length of time so that you've seen it. You've probably seen it if you've been around someone with these forms or something else. When someone comes to visit, all of a sudden they rally, they think more clearly, they speak more clearly, and you're over here going, what? What is happening? And so it can be difficult for family who's not in the home to actually understand the things that you are going through. And because they're not seeing it, they're not dealing with it, they're not experiencing all the craziness that you are. So it can be difficult for them to understand. And yes, going through the training, oh my goodness, I was like, holy cow, I wish I'd have known this. There's a better way to help get them to sit on the toilet. You know, there's a better way to do the showering that would be so much easier. There are a lot of better ways, but if you don't know them, then if you're like me, then you create a way to make it happen. And I created some really useful things that help caregivers. And when hospice came in with my mother-in-law, she was in our guest room. She was passing away. I finally had hospice come in towards the end. And the hospice nurse said, wow, where did you read about this bed alert system? And I said, I didn't read about it. I created it. The things on the market did not work for us. So I had to make something that would work for us. That's where I got it. And she said, well, other caregivers need to know about this stuff. that one statement was life-changing for me because I had never considered anyone else. And while that may sound selfish initially, look at what I was in. You know, dad with Parkinson's, mother-in-law with Alzheimer's, mom with vascular dementia. I didn't have time to think of myself, let alone anyone else. I was just trying to keep up with the three of them's medications, doctor's appointments, keeping them safe, all these sorts of things. But when that nurse said that, it really struck a chord in my heart. And I prayed about it that night and woke up the next morning and knew this is my mission. This is why I went through this. This is what my calling is now, is to make life safer and easier for other caregivers. I don't want them to struggle like I did. And so that's why I wrote my first book, which is Caregiving, How to Hold On While Letting Go. It's on Amazon. It has a picture of me and my mother-in-law on the front cover in our backyard because she loved gardening and she would go out there with me all the time. And we had a great time out there. She was a weed pulling machine until Alzheimer's got worse and she started pulling my flowers too. So, but you have to learn to laugh. If you are in a stressful situation, laughter truly is the best medicine. And that's what I also remind caregivers of, is to find the laughter, find the joy. Your life is not over. There's a terrible diagnosis that's been handed out. It's terminal. There's nothing you can do to change it, but you can still have good times and you can still laugh. And so that's what I try to teach folks to do.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Apples and pears, beef and Skittles, cider with Rosie, common or garden, Ant and Deck, fish and chips, mum and dad.
UK Health Radio and Health Triangle magazine. Each is good by itself, but enjoying both is always better. Add Health Triangle magazine to your monthly health regime. Check it out at ukhealthradio.com. Strawberries and cream.
Once upon a time, human slavery was just a fact of life. Right now, animal abuse is often considered normal. In time, it won't be. Animal Aid campaigns peacefully against all forms of animal abuse and promotes cruelty-free living.
Check out animalaid.org.uk. It's time for a kinder world.
The station that makes you feel good.
Hold your head up, don't you cry, no, don't you worry. Be fine, and you can let your heart ache, but don't you let it change the way it's beating, 'cause you'll be needing every ounce of love I gave you. Now the road is rough, but it's here to save you. Go and let it guide you, even when beside you. This world turns you upside down and inside out, and it's a hunger for the higher that you climb. And when trouble finds you, you can just do what I do. Grit your teeth, get through it, and wait for the next good time. Most things gonna lose their shine. Some things string up party lights. Everything champagne, but it ain't all rain. No. This world turns you upside down inside. for the next good time. And at the end of line, you won't be thinking about the hard times. At the end of line, oh, you'll be smiling just like I. Trouble finds you, you can't just do what I do. Grit your teeth, get through it, and wait for the next good time. Wait for the next good time.
Caroline Spence from her album Due North and Waiting for the Next Good Time. The Major Action Week here in the UK starts on May the 15th with a number of events to raise awareness planned. The focus this year is on increasing diagnosis rates, which is becoming increasingly important with the positive news about drug treatments which have hit the headlines recently. There are more details and plenty of free resources available from the Alzheimer's Society at www.alzheimers.org.uk. My guest this week is Debbie Compton, author and founder of Purple Vine. One thing that comes across very quickly is what an important role humour plays in her work. As she says on one of her blog posts, "Ever take two little ladies to get haircuts and shopping when they both have dementia? It can make for some pretty funny situations."
Yes, it does. Oh, yeah, I did a lot of stuff. And I'm very honest in my book. And I tell people, I did this. You don't want to do that. It did not go well. Because you need to understand as a caregiver, I think too often we set the bar so high anyway. And we feel like we're deficient. We're not meeting all their needs. We're not doing this enough. We're not doing that enough. We get upset at them. You're human. Everyone blows it sometime, and you just do the best that you can and you laugh about it and then go on. I posted a post on Facebook one time too. And because I had so much trouble getting my mother-in-law and my mom to go to the doctor. They did not want to go. They'd get stressed out. They'd argue with me. They'd fight with me. And my mother-in-law fought with me. Mom didn't fight with me, but my mother-in-law did. And she's shorter than me, but she was a tough little cookie when she didn't want to go somewhere. She's hanging on to the door and I'm trying to pull her loose. It's just, it was ridiculous. So I posted on Facebook, 2-for-1 sale at the doctor's office. And because I took a picture of both of them having their blood drawn. And then a bunch of people were like, "Oh, really? I didn't know they did that." And I was going, "They don't. It's a joke. I was just losing my mind. I was just, just got to laugh." Because I told my mother-in-law that the appointment, and this was actually pretty genius, I got to say. I told my mother-in-law that the appointment was for my mom, but we were going to act like it was for her to get mom to go. And then I told my mom the appointment is for my mother-in-law, but we're going to act like it's for you to get her to go. So they both went along and I didn't have to fight either one of them. It was amazing. That was a wonderful thing. But, you know, a lot of other stuff happened, but that part was great. And that's the thing. Focus on the "that was great" part of it. That worked well. And be glad for that. Don't focus on the fact that you look down and realize that mom's wearing two different color shoes. It's okay. Nobody noticed, you know, and she has another pair just like them at home.
Yeah, I think, you know, it's those human stories, as I call them. In a review in your book on Amazon, someone said that, you know, "I found it very refreshing to read because I didn't want a textbook. There's loads of textbooks out there that may, you know, state certain things. But when you actually bring that human element into things, it's so much more helpful to people."
I agree. And that's why when the Alzheimer's Association, when I teach I teach the information that they want us to teach, but then I'll insert stories all the way through it. I'll say, this is what that looks like. Dad went over here, you know, and give an example of it, because then it makes it real for you. Then you're like, oh, okay, that can happen. Oh, yeah. We got Dad a cell phone so that we would know where he was and so that we could call him. He kept it turned off because it was for his use. He turned it on whenever he wanted to use it. Or otherwise, he turned it off. You know? So there's just so many struggles, but you just find a way to overcome. Find a way to get through, because I don't believe in giving up. I believe we get knocked down, but we don't need to stay there. We need to get up and try again.
Well, I guess you know, you need a lot of energy to be able to achieve that. Also, you know, I sometimes feel that the caregivers are the kind of forgotten people in this story, because everybody concentrates on the person living with dementia. But it is so important for the caregivers to, you know, feel and take care of their welfare as well.
Exactly. Exactly. And so many people will say, well, I don't know how to help, or no one can help because mom just wants me here with them. I don't think that's true. I think we tell ourselves that, and I have been guilty of that as well. But then I discovered, you know what? There was a little lady at church that was lonely and didn't have anyone to visit with. So I went and picked her up and brought her to my house because she was cognitively aware. She had no issues cognitively. So I brought her to my house and she sat on the couch and watched movies with mom and Jean while I ran to the grocery store. What a blessing. That was like a mini vacation for me. It was great. And so that's what I help caregivers to realize too, is look in your circle. And when people say, well, let me know if there's something I can do to help, don't just say, oh, okay, and forget it. No, be prepared. I encourage caregivers to write a list that people could help you with. Maybe it's mowing the lawn, picking up the groceries, whatever, walking the dog, whatever it is. Things that you have to do that take your time and energy, and have that list with you. And then when someone says, well, let me know if there's something I can do to help, say, you pull out that list and say, well, actually, is there anything on this list that you would like to do? So then you're giving them the choice. They're reading this list. They're picking what they want to do. And they've already told you that they want to help. So you're not imposing on them. Too often we feel like, I don't want to be an imposition on anyone else. This is what I have to deal with. They want to help. Let's let them help.
It's all right for some, not all right for me. When the one that I'm loving slips around, you think it's fine to do things I cannot say, and you're doing it to me. Baby, can't you say that I know how it is? To be where the one that I'm loving can't be found. The city where we live might be quite large, but the circle is small. Why not tell us all, and then all of us will know. I can see it in your eyes and feel it in the way you. Whenever we are talking like this, I can see what you believe in when his name is mentioned in the day.
Sadly lost Gordon Lightfoot a couple of weeks ago, one of the great underrated singer-songwriters, and that's one of his best, The Circle Is Small. There have never been so many ways of listening to our shows here on UK Health Radio, with listen again and download available on the website at www.ukhealthradio.com. And now everything, including the D Word, is available in podcast format, available from all the major podcast platforms, including Apple and Google Podcasts. Also, watch out for the new UK Health Radio website, which is coming soon. I'm chatting to Debbie Compton from Burble Vine, who again demonstrates how important spreading the word about your lived experience can be.
Exactly. And you don't just need a plan. You need a plan A and B. Hopefully you have an A, B, C, and D. And that's what I include in my book as well, because I mentioned I have two brothers and a sister. When mom was in the loop-de-loop phase, which is what I call it, because she'd get to the end of the sentence and start back at the beginning again, and you're just going around and around and around the same loop. We all handled it different ways, completely different, but we have different relationships with mom. And so I tell all four of the ways that we handled it. You pick and choose what works for you. And guess what? It might work today, might not work tomorrow. So you need to try another one tomorrow. And you can't say, well, I tried that 3 weeks ago and it didn't work. Hey, it's a new day. You know, it might not work before their nap, and it might work great after the nap. So we need to understand that, because dementia is not a linear process. It's that's why I named my website The Purple Vine. Purple because it's the Alzheimer's color, and it's also my favorite color, so it works on two levels. And then Vine because, as I mentioned, I am in training and development. I was used to you do steps 1, 2, 3, and you get 4. Dementia is not like that. You do steps 1, 2, 3, you might get 7, 12, 18, negative 4. You don't know. It twists and turns like a vine and curves back on itself. So I use that. And then I also, because I'm a Christian, I use the vine because I am the vine, you are the branches. Apart from me, you can do nothing. And so again, two levels there. So the website is The Purple Vine, because this isn't, you can't memorize a set of steps and think I have it mastered. Does not work that way. And that's the hard thing for our logical brains to understand. I think a thing that caregivers struggle with a lot, and I know I did, is trying to find the logic in the beginning. And I'm like, there has to be a reason that mom is doing this. There has to be a reason. No, actually there doesn't. This is called dementia. Two parts of your brain are actively dying, not just shrinking, but dying. You can't teach them new things. We have to give up on that right away. There, you can't teach them something new. This is not the time to say, okay, you know, let's learn how to do blah, blah, blah. It's not hard. It's not hard for you. It is for them. So understanding it is not logical is huge for caregivers. That's a great stress reliever right there.
Yeah, and I also think it's the ability to play a part in someone else's world. You're actually moving into another world, and I guess that's why the book title grabbed me as well. How to Hold On While Letting Go, because you almost have to let go of the person that you've known all these years, but still hold on and try and live in their world.
Yes, exactly. That's exactly it. My husband helped me come up with that title, and I was just like, oh my gosh, that is perfect. Because you're also trying to hold on to your sanity and let go. You're grieving. That's why it's called the long goodbye, because you are grieving the loss of that loved one. Their body is still here, but that relationship is gone. Pieces still remain. And currently, like I was visiting with my mom yesterday, she didn't have any idea who I was. But that's okay. She knew I was someone that she loved. And so she hugged me and everything, and I hugged her, and that's a blessing, and that's good. So again, find the blessings where they are, find the joy and take the joy in that. It makes me sad when I talk to caregivers who are in the early phases of caregiving. Their parents are still pretty self-sufficient, and they're saying, oh my goodness, I don't know how I can handle this. And I'm thinking, you're not going to make it unless you get tougher. This is the beginning. You have seen nothing. So, we're tougher than we think. We're more resilient than we realize. And it makes us stronger. So it's like the old adage, that which does not kill us makes us stronger. It's very true.
Yeah. And I'm sure, if you learn to laugh alongside crying or whatever, and you actually kind of can enter into that world, then surely you're going to, you absorb it better, and it's going to be better for everybody. I always see it as a kind of team approach. You've got the caregiver and the person living with dementia, and you both have to be pulling in the same direction. Otherwise, like you say, with a first-time carer, they may just sit there and wonder, well, what am I going to do about this?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And as you mentioned, live in their world. That is so very, very true. A huge mistake that I see caregivers make is that when someone is having a hallucination or delusion, they'll argue with them. You should never do that. Never. My dad saw aliens and he saw them tunneling into his house. It freaked me out, to be honest. Because I've never heard of this. I didn't know what to do. I researched and researched all kinds of stuff. My mother-in-law would pet a little dog in our living room, and she'd sit there and just laugh and giggle at his tricks. And she'd tell me, look at him, look at what he's doing. It's so cute. And I'd say, oh, that is so great. Oh, he's so talented. He's so cute. There was no dog. I have a dog now. I did not have a dog then. So you just agree with them, because here's the thing. When you argue, it makes them stressed. Stress makes the disease progress faster. So you're actually harming your loved one when you're arguing with them. Plus, it is a, depending on what they're experiencing, a delusion or a hallucination. They see it, hear it, smell it. To them, it is very real. So how would you feel if I walked in and told you that's not there, that's not real? And you're going, I can see it. And I'm saying, no, it's not there. That's going to make you angry, right? Of course. That's why we get a negative response. What difference does it make if you go along with them? It doesn't hurt anyone. Now, if it's going to hurt someone or, hurt them, then obviously you need to step in. But if it's the monkeys in the tree that mom saw that needed their little jackets, yeah, let's go in the house and get them jackets. By the time we go into the house, she's forgotten about the monkeys in the tree. It's going to change. So just go along with it. Make life easier for both of you.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Animal Aid campaigns peacefully against all forms of animal abuse and promotes cruelty-free living. We've been doing this for over 40 years. Every year, More and more people are living satisfying lives completely cruelty-free. Check out animalaid.org.uk. It's time for a kinder world.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
If you're looking for love, if you're looking for touch, someone to rope you in and lasso the moon, pick you in no country tune. You want the ride of your life, rough hands to hold you at night. Get swept off your feet with a two-step, ride off into the sunset. I hate to break it to you this way, but you've come to the wrong place. There ain't no cowboys left in this town. They hung up their saddles and laid their let it go down. Maybe they're in Texas or old Mexico. You'll see Wranglers in boots, 10-gallon Stetson hats too, shiny new Silverados, desperate to be desperados. But there's no cowboys left in this town.
Brett Taylor from a latest album, Kentucky Blue, and No Cowboys here on The D Word, where we'd love to hear from you. We're on social media at Radio DDW on Twitter, the Radio DDW Facebook resource page, which also contains lots of interesting news stories, and of course email at tdwradio@gmail.com. Over the next few weeks, we're going to be working on a special feature with one of our friends, which will hopefully launch in a 200th show, so do watch out for further details. My guest this week is Debbie Compton, who, as well as being thrown into the role of caregiver, has now written a number of books, which was also something she hadn't thought about.
No, that was not part of my plan either. But that hospice nurse, when she told me that other caregivers need to know this information, that next day, that's when I knew I had to write the book. The first book, which was, you know, the caregiving book. That's when I started working on that. And the funny thing is, I had taken notes and I'd sent a lot of text messages to the family telling them some of the bizarre things that had happened, because it was just so bizarre. I couldn't believe it, you know, and I wanted them to know what progression their mother was in and the whole bit. And I did with my family, with my dad as well. So I used those as notes for my book, which was great. I had no intention of that when I was recording the information. It was just really stress relief to get it out there to tell someone. And so I compiled those and put them together in my book. And then every book I've written is because of family. My dad was a preacher, and he pastored small country churches. And so if you know anything about small country church, if there's a job that no one wants to do, the pastor's wife gets to do it. And so so my mom became the bulletin maker, or the order of service. She did that in the days of the typewriter. No spell check, no autocorrect, no proofreader, and four teenagers running around the house. I can only imagine. You get towards the bottom of the page of all this typing and you make a mistake. I'm going to be going, is it really worth it? I mean, you know, they know what I mean, right? Just let it slide. So as a result, when Dad passed, we were going through his things. I found his briefcase. And in his briefcase, he had kept a lot of these old bulletins. And they were hilarious. They just cracked me up at some of the things that Mom wrote. And so at the same time, I was with Mom. I was trying to keep her reading, because reading keeps the mind engaged, keeps you connected to the words and their meanings. Reading is wonderful for anyone with dementia. Strongly encourage that. So I was trying to keep her reading, but her eyesight was getting worse. She was having trouble seeing the small print, and she couldn't remember the plot. So it was really frustrating when I would read with her, because every day I would have to go back and explain everything up to that point. And it was just exhausting for me. So again, my brain works, okay, here's the problem. And I know the end that I want to get to. I want her to read, but I want her to read on her own. And I don't want her to ask me every 5 seconds what's going on. So what I did was I wrote Sunshine for the Soul. And it's S-O-N, sunshine. And what it is, there is no plot. It's inspirational quotes that are encouraging. It is encouraging Bible verses. And it's funny stories from our life. And a lot of those are the bulletin bloopers, is what I call them. And so I put those in there. So, but that pattern repeats itself over and over and over. So you can start at the beginning, the middle, or the end. It doesn't matter. It's going to brighten your day. It's going to make you laugh. Especially someone who has dementia, because it's brand new every time they read it. And so it was the only book my mom read for like a year. And it's great. And then I started using it, because it's a small little book. I started using it as motivation for people helping care with Mom. Because during COVID, I had to put her in a memory care facility, which completely broke my heart. But anyway, I would notice someone going above and beyond for Mom, and I'd give them a copy of the book. So then it became an incentive for them to do something really special for Mom so they could get a copy of the book. So, and one of the things in that book, that I enjoy is she just left out one letter, but it changes everything. And she left the first G out of the word singing. And so what the bulletin says is, if you enjoy singing, join the choir. And so so they're just funny. It's just a lighthearted book that will make you laugh, that'll bring you encouragement, brighten your day. And so that's why I did that one. And then the two coloring books that I did, the two adult coloring books, were the same reason, because I was at the Daily Living Center with Mom. We were coloring. She colored a little dog blue, and this lady started yelling at her. And I was up in arms on the inside until I realized and recognized that, you know what, this lady has issues of her own going on, and give her some grace. And so I set out to solve the problem. So I created two coloring books, Color Me Calm and Faith Lives Here. And they are original mandalas that I created. Mandalas are just patterns. There's no right or wrong way to create, to color them. You can color them any color you want, and it's fine. And Color Me Calm is just the mandalas. Faith Lives Here came later when I bought another program and learned how to put words on top of it. And so it has inspirational messages on top of the coloring all around it, the mandalas, the pattern. And so Mom will color a page and she reads out loud. So she'll read, you know, that page, God loves you, you know, over and over and over, like 30 times while she's coloring the page. And the great thing is everybody who's sitting around near her hears that over and over. So it helps them as well.
Yeah, I think, you know, you've obviously put so much thought into, you know, into all of this and on the books, which I think is great. I've looked at the website as well, and you've got your newsletter as well, haven't you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, my newsletter goes out once a week, and I just give pointers, tips, information, helpful things, things I've learned, just to try to share information. I'm all about sharing information with caregivers, particularly. Yeah. It can be anyone, but caregivers predominant. And the thing is, if someone can say, you know, well, I'm not a caregiver. Well, you're not today. Mm-hmm. Wouldn't it be great if you were prepared to be a caregiver before you were actually thrown into the boiling water like I was? Something to think about.
Yeah, I think it's, you know, it's more than something to think about. I think it's a really important message. But, you know, I guess, you know, going back to the beginning of the conversation, we've all got busy lives, we're all humans, and, you know, sometimes these things just get thrown upon us, don't they? When, yes, as you say, it would be great if we could, you know, prepare a little bit and, you know, things would become easier.
Right. Well, none of us think that we're going to be in that boat, which is kind of odd when you think about it, because the largest risk factor for developing Alzheimer's is old age, and we're living longer. So, and not only that, I mean, right now there's 53 million people that are over 65. By 2030, there's going to be 70 million because all the baby boomers are aging. And so they call it the silver tsunami that's coming. And so we need to be prepared for that. The need for caregivers is going to go up exponentially. And if you have aging parents and they're in fairly decent health, the odds are pretty good you're going to be a caregiver.
Yeah. And you know, I guess with the way demographics works as well, it's a 20th and 21st century problem, because I suppose if you look back in the history, people weren't living that long to require, you know, their offspring to look after them, as it were.
Right. Exactly. It's exactly it. We've got better diet, better medicines. We're living longer. There are more and more cases of Alzheimer's and different dementias.
Well, Debbie, it's been absolutely fascinating, and I applaud your ingenuity in what you've achieved and what you're doing, and also anyone with a really good sense of humour is absolutely all right with me, and I think it is really important and underestimated, the ability to laugh.
I agree completely, and and you'll see that even on my website and my blog and everything as well, is that humor is an important part, because it does reduce the stress, and you're just surrounded by stress, and you have to laugh to lighten that load. and to be able to get through. It's better for everybody, not just the caregiver, but the care recipient as well. They don't want you messing with them when you're grumpy.
I like it. Yeah, I think I'll take that as a line. Don't mess with them when you're grumpy. I like that a lot. That's
that
really
just
good.
Came out.
Debbie, it's been a great pleasure. Thank you so much for being my guest here on The D Word.
Thank you so much for having me. Have a blessed day.
Many thanks to Debbie. Her books are all available at all good internet bookstores, and you can find out more at thepurplevine.com. That's it for this week. Thanks to Angela, our production assistant, and I hope she enjoys her holiday, which is long overdue. Thanks to you for listening, and I hope you join me again soon here on The D Word. So until then, take care now.